Welcome to the Milestone Church Podcast. Whether you are at home, on the road, or at work, we hope you find this message encouraging and helpful for your life. You can watch other messages just like this one on our website at milestonechurch.com/messages.
Welcome you to Milestone Church. I want to welcome those of you at our Hazlett campus, those of you at our McKinney campus, those of you maybe traveling during spring break, watching online or watching online later. Would you join me in welcoming them? Great to have you all with us. We are finishing up our Hearing God series, and we're so proud of you as a team. We're so proud of you for the way that you've come to these weekend services, that you've gone through those guides, and literally thousands of you have been gathering together in hundreds of groups here at our Keller campus, our Hazlett campus, out in McKinney, to come around this idea of learning to hear from God. From the very beginning, we've learned that this God is a communicator. The problem is not his lack of speaking. The problem is our inability to hear him. So hopefully, as we've gone on this journey, you've come to a place where you've learned to hear his voice and find confidence and peace and hope and affirmation and encouragement and love and wisdom from this God who loves us and sees us. I heard about Elio. I thought his story was so powerful. I wanted to share it with you. Here in his own words, this is what he said. He said, "Before I started going to Milestone, I honestly was completely alone. I'd wake up every day with a feeling of depression that would linger, and it weighed me down to the point where I felt like I had no direction or purpose. But once I started going to Milestone, my life took a dramatic turn. When I attended service, I gave my life to Jesus. I began taking steps in the growth track. Now I'm serving. I'm in a small group, and I love my spiritual family. I'm so thankful to God for using the people of Milestone to show me his love, grace, and mercy. And I know that I'm not alone, and I have a purpose in Christ." Isn't that awesome? Worth celebrating, and we're standing with you guys. Well, we are coming to the end of this Hearing God series. And I gotta say, this weekend's one, we left it for last. This weekend's way that we hear God, there's a reason it's last. It takes a little bit more complexity. It's gonna take me a minute to explain it to you. But I'm fully confident in your ability to understand this last one. Along the way, we've learned, I wanna just by review, remind you that we've learned to hear God through his word. It's the primary way that we hear him. We spent a couple weeks, but every week we've talked about we learn to recognize his voice through his word. We learned how to hear his voice through the Holy Spirit. We learned how to hear his voice through wise counsel or trusted voices. Last week, Pastor Jeff did an amazing job, if you missed it, on a subject that can be abstract and kind of be difficult. He did such a great job of making it simple and practical. How do we hear God through the inner witness or our conscience? And this last week, we're going to talk about how do we hear God through life events, through the moments, through the circumstances, through the challenges that we face. Now, I got to tell you, from the very beginning, I got to give it a little nuance. I got to give it a little qualifier. Here's how I want you to think about it. There's two keys. You know, I know many of us think we're great multitaskers. Multitasking isn't easy. Like, if you believe the science, multitasking means you're just doing two things not as well as you could do one, right? Like, you ever realize that? You're like, "Man, I'm so efficient." Well, actually, not really, because you're not quite as good as you think you are. I'm really guilty of that, or at least that's what my wife tells me. And it's the tension, though. So many times, tension is difficult for us, but tension helps us to grow. So two things can be true at the same time. So when we think about how does God speak to us through life events, we have to remember, number one, God can and does speak through the circumstances of our lives, but at the same time, not everything that happens is God speaking to us. So now, you're like, "Jed, what does that mean?" Well, here's what it means. You're like, "This happened in my life. Does that mean God's saying this?" And all I can give you many times is, "Maybe." And you're like, "That's pretty non-committal." We don't like maybe. We were like, "Give me yes or no, tell me." And it's not always that easy. But I think you'll find as we walk through this together, you're not the first person to face this. And actually, it's a reflection of God's goodness. He's not being elusive or difficult with us. He's trying to train us. He's trying to grow us into something we couldn't be without it. In your guides this week, we explained this to you with a passage from Job. Job 33:14 says, "For God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it." If you're not familiar with the story of Job, one of the oldest stories in the Bible, Job experienced a lot of life events, and almost all of them were terrible. He went through some really, really hard things, and maybe his well-intended family and friends kept trying to explain to him why it was happening. So he had a friend. I don't know if you've ever had a friend like this, where Job would be like, this happened, and this happened, and this happened. I don't know what God's doing. And his friend was like, it's your fault. You need to repent. God's punishing you. You ever had that friend? Lots of fun at a party. Not really. And Job's like, I just need God to tell me. Will God tell me? And eventually God shows up and tells him. But it's not just Job. We see this all throughout the Bible. In fact, in your guides, one of our team members, we were coming up with this chapter and we were talking about it. And I was like, could you come up with some cool like ways to tell these stories in the Bible? And Haley, our team member, she painted these for you. Isn't this incredible? I think, look at this amazing series of paintings she did to show us these Old Testament characters that all had God speak to them through these wild life experiences. I don't know if you know this, but Noah, like Noah, the favorite Bible story of every kid ever, which always makes me laugh. I'll tell you why in a moment. Noah had never seen rain, didn't even know what rain was. God's like, I'm going to destroy the world through rain. And he's like, what's rain? And he's like, well, start building a boat. He's like, how big? Really big. You don't know what a cubit is, neither do I, but it's really big. And so he builds this big boat, and we all love the animals. It's like, look at all the animals, they're pretty. Which is, it makes me laugh, because like kids love the story of the animals, but the real story of Noah is like, I'm gonna wipe out the whole world, and they're all gonna drown. Sleep well, kids, we'll see you in the morning, right? It's like, it's not the best bedtime story. But imagine being Noah, like, what's happening? Like, that's wild. Think about Moses, right? 80 years old. Could have just been a random Tuesday. He didn't know what was going to happen on that day would be told around the world thousands of years later. But he shows up while he's watching these sheep, and he sees this bush that's on fire, but it's not consumed. And God begins to speak to him through it. You think about, here's one you probably don't know, even if you went to Sunday school, the story of Balaam. Balaam was this man who was cursing nations and doing these different things, kind of in some ways like a witch doctor, and he's riding along on this donkey on this road, and all of a sudden the donkey turns and speaks to him. That's crazy. But my first question is, did the donkey sound like Eddie Murphy? Donkeys really don't have legs, Shrek. Donkeys are like parfaits. You can't do that, Shrek. You can't crack one off. My mouth was open. Anyways, that's what I wondered, but no, it's a wild story. You think about Gideon. Gideon was, he said, I'm the smallest, I'm the weakest. He was hiding out. God comes to him and speaks to him and says, mighty warrior. And he's like, who are you talking to? And he's like, I need you to build an army. So he wants to build this great army, but every time he's trying to get more people to help him, God says, you need less, you need less. Man, I don't know, that would be hard to hear God that way. Going into battle and you need way less people and you don't even get weapons. It's a crazy story. You think about David, who had all these amazing things happen to him, but at one moment in David's life, God says, you're gonna go into battle, and David goes, okay, God, when? And God goes, when you hear the sound of footsteps in the treetops. I'm like, what does that sound like? How would you even know? But that's what God told them to wait for. You think about Elijah at the height of his greatest moment, where God literally rains fire from heaven. He's afraid for his life. He's scared. He's depressed. He's hiding in a cave, and God speaks to him in that moment. Or you think about Jonah, the reluctant evangelist, right? Moses' issue was, God, what if the people don't listen to me? Jonah had the exact opposite issue. Jonah was like, the people are going to listen to me, and you're sending me to this terrible place, Nineveh, if I go preach to them, they're going to get saved, and I don't even like those people. So Jonah gets in the boat, and the boat has a storm, and everyone's like, what's the deal with the storm? And Jonah's like, I know, it's my fault. Throw me in the water. That's like, could you have told us that before you almost killed us? And the thing, you know, you read this story as a kid. I remember in Sunday school reading the story, and it's like Jonah's a whale. I was like looking that up this summer, and I was like, there's not really any whales in the Mediterranean, but the actual Hebrew word is fish. So I was like, that's a big fish. So I did a little research. It turns out there's a fish in the Mediterranean called the basking shark that has a giant jaw. Have you ever seen a whale shark? That's technically a fish. It's that size. No problem at all opening its mouth and swallowing it. Those of you who have shark phobias, deal with that one. Do what God says, or one of those will find you and swallow. I don't know if they're native to Texas, but they could be, right? Like, so the point is, you're like, Jed, I'm not a Bible character. I'm not an Old Testament character. What does this have to do with me? Well, we may not have their same life experiences, but I would imagine that all of us, like them, have found ourselves in moments where we wondered, what in the world is going on? God, why is this happening to me? God, where are you? I didn't see this coming. I'm trying to understand. God, I'm trying to do my best. And yet this happened at work, or this happened in my family, or I got a health diagnosis. God, where are you and what are you saying? And you might look at someone like me who's a pastor and be like, could you just tell me what's happening? And I was like, we're not sure. Let's just see what God says. Let's walk through it. I can remember being a young adult. One of the things that I was so anxious as a young adult was like, God, I want my life to count. I want my life to have meaning. I want to make an impact. I want to have a purpose and a call of God on my life. I don't know if you remember when you used to feel like that, where it's like, God, you can use me to change the world, which is a dangerous prayer. Because that prayer is not, God, I want you to make my life safe and comfortable. Speaking of tension, I think we live with that tension. Maybe you can relate in McKinney where you're like, I want my life to count, but if you can help it, God, could you also make it comfortable and safe where I'm not worried or anxious anytime? But if you look at the people that we just looked at, all of their lives were stressful and dangerous and in so many ways an adventure. And I think we like the idea of adventure more than we actually like adventure. In fact, many people who work with kids and child development say this is a problem that we're running into as a culture, as a society, that kids and their development are having challenges because we've avoided this thing called risky play. I don't know if you can relate. It depends on your age and where you came from and where you grew up. Now, I grew up on a tiny little island in the state of Washington, and I'm a Gen Xer, and that's the latchkey generation where both parents are working, and so when school's over, you're just kind of on your own. You're going to practice. You're riding your bike. You're going places. You know, I don't relate to kid pickup. We didn't have that. You walked or you rode your bike or you got on the bus, which was like the Hunger Games. Anyways, but parents were doing the best they could, and it was good for us. It helped us, right? Like, I remember we rode our bikes everywhere. I remember one day, it was before seventh grade basketball, first day of basketball. I was so pumped to go to practice. I'm riding my bike, and it's like 7 in the morning, and I'm riding, and my seat's wobbling a little bit, and so the lock slips off the seat and goes in between the tire and wedges perfectly in there. So I go flying over the handlebars. But I wasn't Superman. And so when I landed, I skidded up my knee and there's blood and gravel all in it. But I was like, it's the first day of practice. So I got back on the bike. I rode to practice. My coach looked at that. He poured some stuff on it, wiped it up, put a little bandage. He's like, go practice. Got home that night. My mom was like, what happened? I was like, no big deal. Just got a little scratch. She's like, I'm glad you're fine. Go to practice tomorrow. It was just what we did. That wasn't like special, right? Like you just figured it out. She would say to my mom and dad on the weekend, right? Like they would say like, it's time to go outside. I was like, what for? She was like, we don't care. Just to not be in this space. Which as a kid, I didn't understand. But as a parent, I get it now. Because I was not quiet then either. Like, it's like, we love you, but we need a little extra space, so go figure it out. So we just did stuff. And I had an older brother, and it was an island, so we were playing in rock quarries and jumping off cliffs and exploring stuff. And we just developed that way. Now, I gotta say, I sound a lot tougher as a kid than I did as a parent, right? Like, I take my kids to places, and I'm like, we're in the mountains, and it's like, back up from the cliff, be careful. And I'm trying to give them careful because I know what I went through, but I'm trying to save them from the very thing that helps them to grow. So I try to find places where it's appropriate. So I make my kids go on roller coasters. My oldest, she wasn't tall enough to ride the scary ride, so I was like, put extra socks on. She goes, Dad, why is it called Tower of Terror? I was like, don't worry, it's just branding. It's not that scary. And the doors open, she drops Spider Monkey. You know, like every one of their personalities is different. My oldest son, he's like, okay, Dad, this is cool. Roller coasters, you say it's fun. He's just chilling. The ride starts, you know, you take off. Bam, he hit his head on the back, almost got a concussion. Third one's like, Dad, he's big talker. I can handle the scariest ride you can give me. Give me the scariest ride. So we get out there to the ride, and we come in, we're screaming and yelling, and we come in and land. I look over, giant crocodile tears. I was like, what's wrong? He's like, Dad, why would they make a ride so fast? That was terrible. He wasn't just mad that he was on the ride. He was mad that that kind of ride existed anywhere. You're like, why are you telling us? Well, I bet you can relate at some level. And here's what I know about God. God's not into safe. But that doesn't mean he doesn't love us. His love is expressed through, though you're going to go through the fire and the storm and the wind and the rain, you don't have to be afraid because I'm there with you. And how great is a God who doesn't just keep us safe and out of danger, but says, when you go through the danger, I'll always provide a way out through my goodness and my peace as you learn to follow my voice. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Now, sometimes we read a passage and it's very clear and obvious why we read that passage. It's one that you maybe know. This one's a little bit trickier, but I'm going to explain it to you. It's a moment, if you're not familiar, the book of Acts is this amazing story of how the church was formed and what God did in the lives of the disciples after Jesus was resurrected and ascended into heaven. And so the book was written by this doctor, a man named Luke, who was a companion of Paul, who was very methodical and asked great questions and wrote with great detail and very linear in the way he's thinking. And so he records this for us and helps us to understand what was happening in the lives of these believers as the church got started. Many of the stories that we read, the letters, actually coincide and give us insight. And this weekend's passage is going to be very much that way. Look at with me, Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia. If you've seen the book Galatians, that's what it's talking about. Having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Isn't that fascinating? You would normally think, well, why wouldn't God want the word to be preached in Asia? And yet the Bible said sometimes, for some reasons that can be hard for us to understand, it's the Holy Spirit that prevents the gospel from being preached. You're like, how does that relate to us? Maybe there's a situation in your life where it's when this seems like a good thing, this seems like an obvious thing that God would want me to do, but for whatever reason, it's not working. I feel like I'm facing resistance. Goes on to say, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. There we see it again. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas, and during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, I've read this passage for a long time, but it was really only yesterday morning that I noticed there in verse 10, it says, it's the first time in the book of Acts that Luke uses the word we, which makes you think Luke was very likely in Troas, or Luke could have even been the man of Macedonia asking Paul to come. It goes from they to we very quickly. What does that mean? Well, sometimes in the life of following God, we're not sure. We're guessing. It feels like breadcrumbs. It feels like I just take this one. And we're looking for the assurance and the confidence of everything God's doing. And God only gives us small little pieces. And many times, like we said last week, we recognize this through maybe a sense of peace or a lack of peace. When Paul talks about what's actually happening in this passage, in 2 Corinthians 2:12, he said, I went to Troas to preach because the Lord opened a door for me, but I still had no peace, so I said goodbye and I went on to Macedonia. You're wondering, like, well, what happens when they get to Macedonia? Well, they go to this city named Philippi. Yes, that's the city where we get the book Philippians from. And when he goes to Philippi, they meet a woman named Lydia. She gives her life to Christ. She's this influential business person. You think, that's amazing. Of course, God opened that door. But the very next thing that happens is there's a big uprising in the city and they get thrown in jail. They're like, Jed, what are you trying to say? I'm not really a first century missionary like Paul. I don't know what this has to do with me. Well, I think it has a lot more to do with you than maybe you realize. Hazlitt, I'm sure you've probably had moments in your life where you're like, I thought I was supposed to take this promotion, but when I tried, it seemed like I experienced this resistance, and I don't know why. Or maybe I thought about selling my house, or maybe I thought about moving, or maybe I was, McKinney, maybe you're praying through, what am I supposed to do with the health situation, or maybe what am I supposed to do with my kids' education? And we get so fixated on our plan, and then when our plan doesn't work the way that we think it's supposed to work, our immediate reaction is, God's forgotten about me. God's abandoning me. The enemy's resisting me. When it's really, no, God's lovingly leading you and guiding you along a path. It's hard. We miss it. I think back about my own life. There are so many moments where my first thought to a circumstance was, why is the enemy doing this? Why is God allowing this to happen? And then over time, what I realized, it wasn't the enemy, it was God's goodness. And I didn't understand it in the moment. I really only understood it looking back later. I think about this one moment in particular that was transformative for me. In a ministry setting, not at Milestone, but in a previous ministry setting, we were going through this situation where somebody that I was really close with made some really, really poor choices, had a moral failure, made some terrible choices. And because I was close to him, he was appropriately removed from the environment. And so everyone who was experiencing that was wanting to process what had happened. And he was no longer there, but I was there. So one of the leaders was like, hey, would you be willing to sit with these guys and talk to them? You don't have to do it. It's probably not going to go great. It could be tough to sit in this meeting. And I remember he's like, I would totally understand if you don't do it. So I said, God, do you want me to do this? And God said, I want you to do this, but it's not about them. It's about you and me. It's about, will you trust me through a difficult moment? When everything inside of you wants to defend yourself, wants to fight back, can you just sit there and listen to what I'm trying to teach you in that moment? And it was incredibly difficult, but there was a connection, there was an intimacy, there was a trust, there was a confidence in the goodness of God that I received in that moment that I don't think I could have got any other way. And I wouldn't have engineered that circumstance, but I tell you today, 20 plus later, I'm grateful for the grace of God because I said yes as he moved through the circumstances of my life. I don't know what that looks like for you, but I can promise you there are situations in your life where you think, oh, this is probably the enemy, or it's this person's fault, or my boss's fault. And what the Spirit of God is saying is, don't think about them. Think about me and what I'm trying to do in you and through you. And if we'll be people who live that way, God will do great things through you and I. I want to make this practical for you before I pray. How does this work? How do we hear God speak through life events? Well, the first way is we filter through the other ways that God speaks. There's a reason we save this one for last, because it requires the most maturity. It requires the appropriate filters. You know, when you're trying to understand, we said it every week, when you're trying to understand what God's voice sounds like, you go back to his word. So if you're in Christ, you know in his word, over and over and over, he says, don't be afraid. When you feel alone, he says, I'm with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. So you have to start from that place, because in our flesh, in our emotions, in our drama, if you're a little like me, you ever done that? Like simple things. You're stuck in traffic. Lord, why have you forsaken your servant? The enemy is tormenting me. This is basically the same as when Paul got a thorn in the flesh. This is my thorn in the flesh, this traffic. And the Lord's going, like, no, there was an accident, knucklehead. Just work on your patience, right? Like, that's at least how he speaks to me. So you start with, okay, he speaks through his word. He speaks through the Spirit. He speaks through trusted voices. He speaks through the inner witness. And then he speaks through life events. See, if you start with life events, you always interpret what God's doing and his attitude towards you based on what's happening in your life. And that's not a great way to understand who God is or what he's saying to us. There's a common Christian phrase, maybe you've heard it, God opened a door. You know, some of us are more rational, our personality plays into this. Some of you are very rational, cause and effect, linear people. This happened because of this, and it's hard for you to see it as being spiritual. Others of you are very spiritual, and everything is spiritual. Everything that happens to you all throughout the day is because everything happens for a reason, right? Which makes the rational people crazy. Which is why I always laugh when a couple comes together and one's rational and one's spiritual, and it's like, they don't understand me. And it's like, yeah, that's why you like each other, right? Like, that's a marriage message. It's a different message. But we hear this phrase, and it's almost used for everything. Well, God opened a door. But look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16:9. It is a biblical idea. Paul says, a great door for effective work has opened to me. But look what he also says. There are many who oppose me. So I would just caution you, most of the time when we say, God opened a door, what we're really saying is, this is really easy. It dropped out of the sky. I didn't even have to do anything, and this great job offer fell out of the sky. It must be God, or I could move my family, or I could sell my house, or my kids got a scholarship. Just be careful, because every open door is not a God door. And it doesn't work like just because it's easy, it must be God. Because remember, Paul said, there are many who oppose me. See, sometimes just because it looks like it's blessed doesn't mean it's God. And just because there are challenges doesn't mean it's not God. That's why we have to lean in deeper and go, okay, God, what are you really trying to do? Which brings us to the second thing that we need to remember is, here's how we hear God through it. We're confident he'll speak to us. I think most of us, no matter what our personality is like, at times we feel stuck, we feel lost, we feel confused, we feel alone. Like, God, where are you? What are you doing? You know, and culture doesn't help us. Culture now wants us to interpret any kind of nervous energy as anxiety. I'm anxious. I'm experiencing trauma. And we throw those words around so casually when many times we're just nervously excited. It doesn't mean we're anxious. It doesn't mean we're afraid. We just care about what we're doing. And so we got to start with, God, what are you up to in this situation? God, I believe you're going to speak to me. God, if I ask, I'm trusting that you're going to hear me. I was thinking about this with my younger son the other day, because back to this whole idea of riding bikes. And so he's a big guy, and we called him the man child because he was always like 99th percentile. And so he must have been like 6 or 7, and he was a really big kid, not real flexible, not real nimble, if you know what I'm saying. And so all the other kids were riding bikes. He wanted to ride his bike, and he would get so mad because he would just wobble over and fall down. And I remember one time he fell over on his bike, and he got so mad. He picked up his bike, and he said, "This is stupid," and he threw it on the ground. And I was like, that's impressive. I'm not even mad. He just, like, hulked out. And so he comes back later. He's like, "Dad, I want to try riding the bike again." So I was like, great, that's awesome. And remember, son, if you fall down, we just get right back up again. You're going to be fine. It's going to be okay. Dust yourself off and do it again. He's like, okay, Dad, I got it. So I set him right out in front of the house, and he was riding back and forth in a little safe area, a little supervision. And then I got distracted and went inside the house, and it's good for him. And so came back out, and he's gone. I'm like, I don't know where he went. Where did he go? This could be a problem. So I start running through the neighborhood, like, where is he? Check down one street. It's not there. And then all of a sudden, I hear this voice crying out in the wilderness. Dad! Dad! And so I look down by the pond, and sure enough, about 400 yards away, there he is down in the pond. The bike's on top of him. He's under the bike. Dad! So I walk up on him. I'm like, son, what are you doing? He's like, I was just calling for you. I was like, you didn't get up? He's like, I thought if I just called long enough and loud enough, eventually, Dad, you would hear me. And I was like, at first I was like, well, that's a dumb strategy. But then I thought about it. I was like, man, I'm not God. But how many times do we try to solve it ourselves? Do we try to go like, I'll fix this. I'll make it happen. I'll get myself up and dust it off. But his reaction was, if I cry loud enough, my dad loves me. My dad will find me. My dad will hear me. And my dad will meet me in this situation. And our God is so much better than his dad. And I think so many times we take a wrong posture. We're like, what's a wrong posture? We say, we start with, God, why are you punishing me? Maybe we say, if it's a good thing, we say, God, this is happening because you're blessing me, as if somehow we're taking credit. Or maybe we think, God, why won't you answer me? Or God, why did you leave me alone? When really the right posture that God wants you and I to take is, God, what are you trying to teach me? Here I am. I'm humble. My heart's open. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've walked with God. You can keep this humble posture. When I think about my life and how God's been faithful over and over, this is the kind of person I want to be as I continue to age in my later years. I want to continue to be not somebody who has answers, who immediately thinks how I can fix it, but who has a humble heart with open eyes and open ears. God, whatever you're trying to teach me, your son's right here, ready to listen, ready to learn. The third thing that we have to remember is, we evaluate it and grow over time. I think this is what makes it so difficult. The great philosopher Soren Kierkegaard said, life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forward. See, in the moment we want to know exactly what's going to happen and why, except if we're watching a movie that we haven't seen that our friends have, right? Like, You ever had a friend who's like that? It was like there's a movie with the big twist and they just roll up. Did you hear about how this ends? Well, now I did, so I'd have no reason to watch it. That's why we invented spoiler alert, right? When we're watching a show, no spoilers, but in our own life, we want all the spoilers. God, tell me exactly what's going to happen and how am I going to feel and what's it going to look like? When God's saying, if you'll just trust me, there will come a time, there will come a moment where I'll show you what I was doing in you and through you. See, people will say, well, experience is a great teacher. It's actually not. Only evaluated experience is a great teacher. People say, well, you get older, you get wiser. Some people just get older. If the shoe fits, right? Like, but there are people who get more set in their ways, more angry, more bitter, more emotionally reactive to things that happened 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. But God doesn't want us to be that way. God wants us to evaluate with open ears and a flexible heart and willing to pivot and willing to move with what he's doing in our lives. Proverbs 14, 15 says, only simpletons believe everything they're told, whether it's your feelings or your friends or the culture, but the prudent or the wise carefully consider their steps. If you and I were to sit down over coffee, I would love to hear where you're at. I want to hear your story. Tell me what God's doing. Tell me what circumstances and challenges you're facing. And maybe your circumstance is a situation at work. Maybe your circumstance is a health diagnosis you got. Maybe your circumstances is something that you and your spouse are working through. Maybe it's something you and your children are working through. Maybe you're trying to pray about college, or you have someone you love who's thinking about their career. You're in a moment of decision and you're like, I really need to know what God's doing. What is God trying to say to me? And I know that when we step into those moments, what you want is, Pastor, can you make it so clear? Can you make it simple? Can you give me the easy, clean answer? And what I have to offer you is not what you're looking for. I don't have all the answers. I don't know why you're going through what you're going through right now. I think so many of us in those moments, if we're honest, what we want more than anything is for God to fix the situation. But aren't you grateful that God is so good and so loving, and he sees what we can't see, and he knows what we can't know, and instead of simply fixing our situation, he offers to us something so much greater than the answer. He offers us himself. His goodness, his presence, his peace, his love, whatever you're facing. When I look back over my life, there are so many moments where I thought, God, you're definitely doing this, only to realize he had a different plan altogether, and his plan was so much greater than mine. I never thought I'd live in Texas. I can remember being in a moment of transition. Sarah and I were sitting in Central Park in New York. We were moving and we said, God, we'd love to live in Seattle or Vancouver or New York City because we know the people in those places need Jesus. And I remember telling God, like it was yesterday and it was 15, 20 years ago, I remember telling God, God, we're not scared to preach the gospel in Manhattan. We'll take our children on the subway. And it's like, that's impressive, but I didn't ask you to do that. It's like, I was like, what do you want? I want you to go to Texas. Texas, God, it's hot there. Your servant wasn't built for that. And all God said was, giddy up. And in that moment, I can remember like it was yesterday. It didn't make sense. I didn't understand. But I knew through trusted voices and the Spirit and the inner witness and in my own conscience and in the events that God had orchestrated, he had a plan that was so much greater than what I would have done on my own. And if I would have just followed my feelings or what I thought was safe, I would have missed out on everything that Jesus had for me. And the same Jesus who showed me his goodness is here and present to show it to you. Let's pray. God, we're so grateful. You love us beyond our ability to understand. God, we thank you that as we've come in this series, Lord, it's so clear that you love us, that you're consistently speaking to us. And when the problem is we can't hear you, it's not on your end, it's on ours. So Lord, I'm praying you'd help us. Help us to see where we've missed it. Maybe you're here today and you missed it. You thought a relationship with God was following rules and doing a bunch of spiritual stuff. Well, I got good news for you. The message of Jesus is so much better. On your worst day, when you're most ashamed of what you did and what you said, he said, I love you and I want a relationship with you. If you'll just receive me, you'll just confess your sin and receive me into my life, I'll make you whole and I'll bring you into perfect peace with God. Maybe this is your moment to receive him, to just say yes to Jesus. Maybe you've prayed that prayer. And he's saying, you've been quick to say what was or wasn't me, but it was really more about you and your feelings than about me and my word. Don't be condemned. Don't be ashamed. God doesn't shame us into obedience. He lovingly calls us to trust him. God, help us to be a people who don't want to blame someone else, who don't feel like things are punishment unnecessarily, but who have open ears and open eyes and an open heart. Lord, what are you trying to teach us? God, we thank you. You've been teaching us and will continue to teach us because you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If there's anything we can do to help you in your walk with Jesus, please don't hesitate to reach out through our website at milestonechurch.com. And if you found this podcast helpful, leave a review on the podcast app or your favorite podcast platform. We hope you have a great week.